Okay, so taking a look at the tefillah of Nachem. So we have at Mincha. So we have a halacha that we say that we add this tefillah over the course of Shema Esrei at Mincha. Now, in some ways, I think it's just to make sure you hold the sitter the whole time, because that way you like remember. Oh yeah, I have to say Nachem because it's in a somewhat odd spot, right? We never stop there. At other times, it's in the middle. Our minhag is to say it in the middle of the bracha of Yerushalayim, right? So say Yerushalayim, 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 right? So Yerushalayim, your city, we should hopefully return, and we'll be able to reside there, and we'll build there. B'mehera v'yameinu, that's the regular bracha, and then V'chisei David b'mehera l'tzuchas achin, and we'll establish the throne of David there, and then we head right into Nachem. So what is the tefillah of Nachem? So we generally, the shiur everybody gives about the tefillah of Nachem is, do we still say it bisman hazeh? Is it still applicable bisman hazeh? Because the tefillah is Nachem Hashem Elokeinu, may Hashem console us, and the avele Yerushalayim, those who are mourning over Yerushalayim, ves ir havele v'achariv v'habzuy v'hashomema, and the city that is mournful, ruined, scorned, and desolate. So that, especially in the aftermath of the Six Day War, right? Six Day War happened in June. Tisha B'Av happened a couple of weeks later. You could check the historical record. Some people here lived through it. Other people here did not, and only can read about it. But like people were like, "What, we're doing Tisha B'Av this year? That's crazy, right? We just had this amazing victory, and obviously Mashiach is on its way." And yeah, it's true. We didn't take over the Har Habayis, and the Beis Hamikdash wasn't built. But yeah, that's only a matter of time. It's going to happen any day now. And why should we still celebrate? Or why should we still observe Tisha B'Av at all? So that was one discussion. But the further discussion was, does the tefillah, and probably the more, based on the facts on the ground, the discussion was, do we still say Nachem? Should we still talk about Yerushalayim being a city that is mournful, ruined, scorned, and desolate, when that, I think we can make a strong case that it's not mournful and scorned and desolate, etc. That's not the case anymore. I think here, Rabbi Dr. David Weiss's brother-in-law gave a shiur here, first year or two here, I think, where he just said, like, where's your Hakaras HaTov? Right? He just conquered Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is, Baruch Hashem, bustling, and now you have the entire Yerushalayim. And how can we go ahead and say it just like that? So there are people who said we're not saying it. There are people who said we're going to say it, but we're going to take out those lines. There are some who adjusted it a little bit. And I think most people just go ahead and say it. That's probably, that's what's printed in the Siddur. So that's the regular share that people give about Nachem. I came across just a halachic aspect of it that also gives a little bit of indication. It's not about about saying it then. It's about if you forget to say it then. So the Shulchan Aruch says that in Tisha B'Av, in the bracha of Vonei Yerushalayim, we say this tefillah of Nachem. And if you don't say it, then the Shulchan Aruch continues on and says, V'im lo amar, if you forget to say it, right, lo zev, lo zev, ein machzirin osos. So then you're not going to, we don't send you back and repeat Shemon Esser. Okay, so if you forget it, you don't have to go and repeat it. So far, we're still not controversial. Where is that halacha coming from? So the Beis Yosef quotes the Avud Raham. Who's the Avu? It's pronounced in different ways. Rishon generally quoted there, quoting this idea that he assumes that if you forget to say Nachem, so you don't have to repeat Shemon Esrei, right? And he adds in though, and he adds in though there in the Beis Yosef, it's not in the Shulchan Aruch itself. Sorry, what is his source that you don't have to repeat it? He says, plus it's compared to Aneinu, it's compared to Al Hanisim, that we only have a problem, we only have to go back and repeat things when it's addition due to a day that we have Musaf, right? Tisha B'Av is not Musaf, Chanukah, we don't say Musaf, right? So those, if you forget to say it, then you don't have to go ahead and go back. But then the Beis Yosef adds in one more thing. He says, if you actually forget it at that spot, so Myri, that's only Kishasayim Lihipalel Shemon Esrei. That's only if you finished davening the entire Shemon Esrei, right? You get to the end of Shemon Esrei, you realize, oh, Gevalt, I forgot to say Nachem, and okay, well, I'm not going to go back and repeat Shemon Esrei. What about if you finish the bracha of Bonei Yerushalayim? Right, and now you have a couple of brachos to go. So we have a couple of slots, potentially, to fill Nachem in the rest of davening, right? So let's think for a second. Where do we have additions after nothing. So after Bonei Yerushalayim, so you get to Es Tzemach David, Neshma Koleinu, Ritzei, Hoda, Shalom, etc. So where would we potentially add a tefillah during those? How many slots do we have potentially to fill in? Okay, so Shema Koleinu is a general catch-all. Okay, what else? What other slots do we potentially have? Where else do we have things?
I guess
Ritzei, good. Ritzei, you add Yalav Yavo. And when else do we add things?
Al-Anisim.
When is Al-Anisim added in? So we add Al-Anisim in the bracha of Hodah, right in the middle of Modim, right? So you say Modim, right in the middle of Modim, we add in Al-Anisim. Now, this truth is there's one more. It's the end of Shalom Rav, where we add in B'Sefer Chaim on Sarah Simei Tshuva, but we'll make it easy for you. We'll take that out. So now we have those three slots that potentially you can make an addition. So when of those three slots should you make an addition? Should you add it in? Right? Shemaya, Tfila, Ritzei, or the bracha of Hodah. So says the Avud Raham, he says, you should add it in Hodah. You should add it in that section. Nachim is compared to what, like Al-Anisim, and therefore you should add it in to Hodah, where we would normally insert Al-Hanisim. Okay. Not only that, Avud Raham adds in. He says, by the way, and he says, and I think that's actually where you're really supposed to say it. I mean, that was really the slot that we decided we were supposed to put it in. But because it's so connected to the bracha of Bonei Yerushalayim, so we decided that we're going to add it in a little bit earlier. So that is the Shita of Avud Raham. This does not, surprisingly, it does not make it into the Mishnah Berurah. Right? The Mishnah Berurah, I would think, the Mishnah Berurah right away would say, right? But for some reason, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't have it. The Bi'ur Halacha does have it. The Bi'ur Halacha does go through this discussion. Because the next step of the line is the Taz. I believe the Magen Avraham also says the same idea, that you should say it into the Bracha of Hodah. And the other side of Shulchan Aruch is the Taz. The Taz says, time out. The Taz says, you should say it in Bonei Yerushalayim. If you don't say it in Bonei Yerushalayim, when should you say it? So he says, I wouldn't say it during Modim, I would say it during Ritzei. Now, why would I add it in during Ritzei? So he says there's a Yerushalmi. The Taz quotes from the Yerushalmi. Now, why is it that certain things are added during Ritzei versus things that are added into Hodah? So the Yerushalmi says, Ritzei is on things for the future and Hodah is on things for the past. That Ritzei is a tefillah for that it's asking for something. Ritzei, right? Rasechazeno inin v'shuv kol tzion barachem. We return our eyes towards Tzion and mercifully the base of that's Ritzei and return the avoda. That's the Ritzei. While Hoda is thanks. Thanks is by definition going on things in the past. So says the Taz. What is Nachim? Nachim is a tefillah. So, truth is, it's not so clear, but the Taz says, it's clear to me, the Taz says, Nachem, what are the words? Nachem Hashem Elokeinu es avilei Tzion. May you console the mourners of Yerushalayim. Now, it doesn't really get into, and therefore build the base of Mikdash. It's more, console the mourners over Yerushalayim for the fact that Yerushalayim is in such a destructive state. But at the end of it, it makes a reference to that, that there's going to be ve'ish ata asid livnosa, that with fire you're going to build it in the future. I'm not sure what that means, but with fire you're going to build it in the future, and he quotes a pasuk for that. So, there is a little bit of future there, but really it seems like it's a nachem, may you console us, future tense, on all of these terrible things in the past. So comes the Taz and says, that's really a future tefillah though, right? A future tefillah is, may you console us. How is that consolation going to come? It's going to come however it comes by the coming of the Mashiach, building the Beis Hamikdash, all those kinds of things. So really, it's about the future, says the Taz. If it's about the future, says the Taz, where should it be? It should be in Ritzei. Said, not only that, he says, and what about the Avud Raham that says that it's supposed to be in the Bracha of Hodah? He says, it was a Tosofer. It's a printer's error. He sticks that in there. It's usually you need some kind of excuse to figure out what the printer meant, etc. But he doesn't. He says instead of Avoda, he wrote Hodah. Okay, I guess I could hear that happening, whatever. But he says it was a printer's error, and even the Vudraham agrees with me that really it should be added in during Ritzei. Now the truth is, at the end of that tefillah, he says, and really, really, it should be in Shemei Atila, but I don't know why it's not in Shemei Atila, right? And he sort of like leaves that as like this open question, that really it should be in Shemei Atila, but whatever, it's not going to be there. So, but rather it's going to be in Ritzei. So that is the that is the addition of the Taz. How do we pass it amongst this? The truth is, sort of, it's a Rishon against Nachron, right? It's a Pudraham against the Taz. Nevertheless, if you open up the Bir Halacha, so the Bir Halacha on the side of the it's okay, the Bir Halacha on the Mishnah Berurah itself doesn't discuss it, but the Bir Halacha quotes this Avudraham and says that it's going to be that really it should be in Hoda, and then he goes and quotes the Taz, and the Taz, and he says, and that's Lachora is the Halacha. So that is a Halacha Lemaisa. The Bir Halacha paskins that if you forget to say Nachim in the Yerushalayim, I can imagine, you know, not an uncommon thing to, based on what time Mincha is on a long fast day. So I can imagine that happening. So when would you add it in? You would add it in into Ritzei, right? That seems to be the Halacha. But in here in the Yerach Lemoedim, he continues on and says, well, let's defend the Vudraham a little bit. He says, first of all, is the Vudraham worth defending? That's his first question. Why would the Vudraham not be worth defending? And he's a pretty important person. He's quoted very regularly. He actually has a Pirush on Tefillah, maybe like the first ever Pirush on Tefillah that was written. Goes through bracha by bracha, sort of said what our kavanas are supposed to be. Usually he's only quoted a line at a time in the Beis Yosef, but I happened to come across a copy of the Vudraham. Yeah, I have like an old copy which I probably picked up at some like secondhand, but I think it might have actually been from my father-in-law's house. They were moving things around and were trying to figure out, where to put things. I said, I'll take that. So I happen to have a full copy of the Vudraham, but it's somewhat of a rare, full sefer, that people are going to have. But is it worth defending? Meaning if it actually is a toh sofer, if it actually is a mistake, so then it's a mistake. We don't have to, truth is, we sometimes do spend time defending things that turn out to be toh sofers, but, generally speaking, you don't feel so good about defending something that ends up being a printer's error. Like, why do we really have to defend that? However, the Avudraham doesn't only say this one time in the, in his book. He actually says it twice. There's one time in Hilchos Tisha B'Av where he references this, and there's another time in Hilchos Tefillah where he references this. So, the fact that it would be, so it's possible that it would be a mistake twice, but less likely, at least, that it would be a mistake twice. Not only that, but he digs up other Rishonim that suggest this as well, that you would add it during Hodah. So what is the main question, again, what is the main question against the Avudraham? So the main question that the Taz asks, right, is this Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi that says that Avoda are things for the future and Hoda is on things for the past. And what is Nachim? So the assumption of the Taz is that the Tefillah of Nachim is on things for the future, right? That it's Nachim, that it's a Tefillah that we should receive consolation at some point in the future on all these things from the past. But the Taz right away assumes that this is that it is a future centered Tefillah, and therefore that's where it should be, and that's where it should be added in. So that is the question. What is Nachim? Is Nachim a future? So the Vudraham would come back and say that, it's not a future-oriented tefillah. It's a past-oriented tefillah. If that's the case, then what do you do with the first line, right? The first line is asking for consolation. So what is, so where are we in that spot? So there is a question. I'm sure every year we've quoted this halacha, this Gemara at least once or twice. We've certainly quoted the pasuk. We've already quoted it this year. Right? The Gemara tells us that quotes the pasuk. The pasuk is Simchu es Yerushalayim v'gilu ba kol aveha. Right? You should be rejoiced in Yerushalayim, and all those that loved it will celebrate there. Sisu osa mishut masos kol hamis avlam aleha. And there should be a celebration for all those that mourned over it. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. It's found in a haftorah. Which haftorah is it found in? Added bonus. Not so easy. Your immediate reaction is, oh, it must be one of the, like, Nachum or something. Nope. It's in the Haftorah for Rosh Chodesh, for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. So that's added in there from Yeshaya Perek Samach Vav. Okay, so, Sisu Osa Masos Kol HaMasavim, but the celebration will be, those that will rejoice are those that mourned over it for all of these years. So what do we do with that? So what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, so you see from here that all those who are mikan amrukol misavel al Yerushalayim zocha veroa b'simchasa, that all those that rejoice that mourn over Yerushalayim, and this is where things get a little bit tough. Zocha veroa. So what is zocha veroa? So normally the way we say it over is that all those who mourned over Yerushalayim properly will one day merit to see the building of the Beis Hamikdash. But as Reb David will tell us, that's not what Zocha Veroa is, right? Zocha Veroa is present tense, right? It's not future tense, it's not past tense, it's present tense. Is being Zocha and is Roa, right? Is meriting and is seeing it b'simchasa. So that line is always like tough. So there's different girsos that also some people claim is a printing error, or it really shouldn't be that way, but that's the way it appears in our Gemara. The way it appears in our Gemara is Zocha Veroa, that one is meriting and is being able to see it bisimchasa, as simchasa. How could you possibly say that? And even nowadays, we could presently see it, but for thousands of years, how can you tell some a yid living up in Lithuania or out in Iraq someplace saying that you are being zocha, you are presently able to be zocha, and you are presently able to roa, you're presently able to merit and presently able to see Yerushalayim b'vinyana. So how does that potentially fit? So the truth is there's many answers to this question. This is like a major, it's almost like you can't get through Tisha B'Av without seeing this Gemara and without pondering this thought. The truth is we've already discussed a few. But he suggests, based on the Achsam Sofer that we've been quoting, but a slightly different change. That what is the present? What does it mean to? How could one be presently joyful at the building of Yerushalayim? And he suggests that we know from Yaakov, Yaakov was mourning over Yosef, and Yaakov was over the what he thought was the loss or death of his son, right? And he was mourning not just for a week, not just for a month, not just for a year, but for all the entire time that Yosef was in Mitzrayim, with his whereabouts unknown, he continued to be mourning. In fact, some even suggest that it must be that Yaakov knew that Yosef must still be alive because he still continued to be mourning for all of those years. So what is the sort of psychology behind that? The psychology behind that is that once somebody dies, right, so then the mourning is intense right away, and it ultimately begins to dissipate. It begins to fade somewhat as time continues to go on. What does it mean that if a person is continuously in a state of mourning forever, that means that it is still alive? That means that that person that they're mourning over is still alive, as is in the case of Yosef. So suggests the Chassam Sofer, what does it mean that one who continues to mourn over Yerushalayim will presently see it bivinyana, that presently sees it bivinyana? So that person sees clearly that Yerushalayim, the dream of Yerushalayim, is not dead. The place of Yerushalayim is not dead. It may presently be empty, it may presently be plowed over, as we spoke about, it may presently be in some stage of being destroyed, or Har HaBayis is some stage of being destroyed, but the fact that one is presently crying over it, one is presently mourning over it, after so many hundreds and thousands of years, almost 2,000 years, so that means that Yerushalayim is not destroyed. That means that Yerushalayim is still alive. That means that Yerushalayim is still present. So perhaps that is the pshat of Zochevro. If you mitzavel over Yerushalayim properly, that means that you are able to see Yerushalayim not as something only from the past or something only from the future, but rather something of the present. That it is still something that is presently existent. Yeah?
Especially because Zochev in Hebrew has a passive meaning, an active meaning. There is
zochel
like
zochel
wind.
Uh huh.
There is
zochel
like
ha'av
zochel
lebno.
Like this is an active meaning.
Uh huh. So by mourning over it, we are still maintain. We are continue to keep it alive. Right. By mourning over it, we continue to maintain it. We continue to keep it alive. So perhaps that might be the idea behind the Avud Raham. The Avud, right? We talked. Ritzeh is on the future, and the Bracha of Hoda is on the past. Well, what is Nachem? So perhaps the suggestion is, Revulsion suggests here, that is on the present. So present maybe fits into the Hoda section. Present fits into the things that we're able to give thanks over. So perhaps at this time, once we get to later on in the afternoon, so then we're able to give some appreciation that you've given us this day of Tisha B'Av, and therefore we're able to maintain Yerushalayim. We're able to be able to keep it alive, and then and hopefully as I get to the end of the tefillah, and hopefully then we'll be able to see that it will be rebuilt. We have one more Ari here that I like. Why are we mentioning these things? I mean, if you want to just say Nachim, right, give us a, you know, console us. So why do you have to console us? We're not going to talk about how destroyed it is. Just talk about console us, and hopefully it will be rebuilt. So that says no. That's part of the consolation. The fact that through all these hundreds of years we're able to look at it and say, you know, I want to be consoled over that. I want to be consoled. I'm attempting to receive, you know, we want that which looks totally destroyed to be rebuilt, right? So that is an additional level of consolation. If even that we're willing to daven over and hope for in the future, so that will add an additional amount of consolation, right? That is a famous story that probably never happened of Napoleon walking into shul on Tisha B'Av and saying, what's everyone doing? He said, oh, we're mourning over the base of Mikdash. And he said, oh, you're still mourning out over the years later, so certainly it will be rebuilt one day. So that's the sort, right? That's what we're saying. If you continue for continuing to mourn over, continuing to cry over it, so then Emir Hashem will be Zocha to not just presently be consoled over it, but also in the near future see it rebuilt as well. Okay.